This is
what's going on, people? It's your boy Izzy.
It's your boy Taz.
And this is the Taz and Izzy Show. Woo! Back again with another episode.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Firstly, we want to shout out once more our first sponsor of season 2, Soft and Precious.
Soft and Precious, actually.
Vaseline.
Petroleum jelly.
Make sure you go to any African shop and they will supply you with that for £4.99.
You know what I'm saying? Buy it with change.
Okay, we have a very, very special guest on this week's episode. She's half American.
Half?
Recently back from the legal Mongolian trip. Published author, traveller, and also not self-proclaimed social influencer. It's the one and only Olivia!
Hey!
Okay.
How you doing?
Good, thank you for having me on the show.
No worries, man. We've been waiting for your arrival.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a couple months on the wait. We won't go into that.
We can. It's cool.
How you been? How you been this week, especially?
Yeah, good. This week's been good. I was telling my friend earlier, been a bit of a crazy week. I locked my keys and everything into my car. Before a seminar, I left literally my phone, my keys, my laptop in the car. And literally, like, I was like, what do I do? So I had to miss my seminar. Someone came and broke in my car. So that kind of summed up the week.
Yeah, I don't trust that person, though.
Wow. Yeah,
they know how to break into your car. Seconds.
It was too easy.
That is crazy.
Never leave anything in your car.
You heard it here first.
It's been a good week.
No, that's good. Obviously, on the intro, I said that you're a not self-proclaimed social media influencer. And I've heard rumours as well that you've had a stalker recently of 2 years.
Two whole years.
And they finally got to meet you?
No, it wasn't. So basically not self-proclaimed, because I hate that term, social media influencer. Mm. Like, I feel like it's quite a little bit pretentious, but I understand the role that it is a thing in this world. Yeah. But I wouldn't see myself as one of those people. But I had someone come up to me once saying, "Oh my gosh, I love your arms. I wanted to meet you for 2 years." But the reason why is because I went to Bible school in, I went to a really small Bible school and I was the only foreign person. So I kind of had a bit of like legend status there.
Legend status.
So, hey, wow.
Hey. So yeah, some people wanted to meet, I guess they wanted to meet me or knew who I was, but it was quite daunting because I was like, who are you? Like, B, like, how do you know me? Like, it was quite funny, but it goes to show you don't realise who you're influencing.
That's right. Was there in Portsmouth?
Yeah, it was actually. They had came on a visit on a trip to Portsmouth and I guess, yeah.
No.
So they were on on a mission trip.
That's what they tell you.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. She can't see you.
But it actually happened again when I was in America.
You reach American fans as well?
No, it's happened like multiple times, like in America.
Where in the same place?
No, literally. So I went to this outreach called Mardi Gras. Have you ever heard of Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
So I've been a couple of times to do like outreach. Mm. My best friends live in New Orleans, so yeah, I've been a couple of times, but my whole like school would come, and like a lot of Christians from America would come to New Orleans at that time, and it would just be swarming, like it's already busy, but we'd do outreach, and then people would just come up to me and be like, "Are you Olivia Rounds?" And I was like, or they'd be like, because my dad's a pastor, they'd be like, "It's your dad, Andy Elm." And I'd be like, "What? Like, how do you know who I am? How do you know who my dad is?" Like, it's weird, isn't it?
Wow, that's amazing.
It's weird.
But then you don't like having that title of social media influencer.
Well, no, because I don't like. I think a social media influencer is someone like that has thousands and thousands of followers and like that's their life. Like for me, like social media isn't my life. Like my life's not like I do other things. Yeah. Like, if that's part of my life, like, social media, yes. And I do, I guess everyone who has social media influences, like, a number of people, but it's not, like...
What about if we take away the media in social media influencer
okay.
and then just social influencer. Would you then be happy with that title?
Yeah, I'd be happy with being a social influencer.
There you go.
It's a Christian, isn't it, though? Like,
yeah, because like, it's like you said, we don't know who we influence.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I think we should embrace that social influence and use it as a way to keep each other accountable for how we treat each other.
Yeah.
So there's power in that. And you also mentioned that your dad is a pastor.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You did? Yeah,
is he like a mega church pastor or?
Family church.
Oh!
You didn't know?
Did you? I didn't know either.
Yeah,
wow.
My dad's pastor of family church.
Okay, so you're a pastor's kid?
Yeah.
PK.
So obviously.
I mean, I'm a pastor's kid too. Kind of.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey,
you just spotted. It's always weird with pastor's kids because there's this myth that you guys are troublesome and rebellious.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that? To that myth?
Yeah, that's definitely true for the beginning part of my life.
Okay.
So, like, 13 to, like, 15, I definitely didn't want anything to do with God.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I, like, everyone had to find my own path to God, and I found him eventually, and never looked back.
Mm.
Yeah. I think as a pastor's kid, I think, like, there's a pressure to be, like, as soon as you're born, you're already a Christian.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not even like they see you as troublesome. It's like they don't give you a chance to find out God for yourself.
Yeah.
Or they think that you should have known from like the time like you were like, you knew what,
yeah,
you know, the Bible and stuff was. So I guess it's more like that, where they see you like messing up, where they would have, their kids would probably have the time because they're not under their microscope,
mm,
to like, you know, mess up. So when they become Christians, it's like whatever, but we're always going to be in the, you know, under the microscope because like your dad is the guy that everyone sees.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Do you guys feel like you still have that pressure on you now? Even
well,
though you're so well in your faith?
Yeah, well, because I'm still in family church.
Okay.
So I still relate with a lot of people that knew me growing up, but now it will be like sometimes I'll be talking to them or I'll be in like leadership over them. Like,
mm-hmm.
And so it's a weird dynamic because people have to look at you as who you are now,
mm,
and not who I was when I was 14.
Mm.
True.
So, but there's a grace that people have to have with that. And
mm,
then there's also like a humbling thing for
mm
me of like, look, I'm just, you know who I am. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's no secrets. Like, you know who I am. So, yeah.
What about you? Is that the same for you?
No, I think I never felt the pressure, to be fair. I think I was just like, I was always doing my own thing. So if there was like, supposed microscope under me, I never noticed it, so I just kind of like went on my way, really. And if people would judge me, I just never, it wasn't really a thing because I never really noticed it. Now when I look back, I could probably think like probably people saw that, and yeah, and it's kind of cringy looking back, but then I was totally oblivious to it.
Yeah.
And also when I was introducing you, we talked about how you went to Mongolia.
Mm.
What was the point of that?
Yeah, so it was quite a random trip, actually. It was in August, so like last month.
Yeah.
But I decided, I think it was in June or July, I met a bunch of people who were going.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me about the trip. It was a mission trip. And I really, like, I don't know, it was strange. Like, I really wanted to go, but I didn't want to just go because it was like another trip to go on. So I actually asked the Lord for a dream.
Mm.
Because there's kind of like a time restraint, like I had to let them know in a certain time. So I asked the Lord for a dream and I said, like, look, if you want me to go on this trip, give me a dream. And he gave me a really clear dream, basically telling me that the reason that I was going on the trip was not for myself, but what I was bringing was for the kids that
okay
we were going to see. Yeah, so I went on the trip and we ministered at a children's camp for an orphanage in Mongolia.
Interesting.
But yeah, if you don't know where Mongolia is, it's underneath Russia and above China.
It's in Asia, right?
Yeah, it's in Asia.
Pretty far.
Yeah, it was far.
And apparently, you can cough. It's all right.
She's like,
Cough it all out. It's all good. So in Mongolia, is it not illegal to have a missions trip?
Yeah, so it's illegal to, I don't know if I'm saying the word right, but it's proselytize. So
mm-hmm
trying to convert someone. Which
absolutely
obviously is a bit of an issue being Christian because that is the basis of what we have been called to do,
mm,
to go out and tell the whole world about Jesus,
yeah,
and the implications. But so we just did that in a very undercover way. But yeah, there was an element where you just had to be brave.
Yeah,
and
that's
know
crazy.
What you've been called to do.
I wanna dissect two things. The first thing I wanna dissect is, as Christians, can we still be righteous yet break the law? Because that's low-key what you were doing.
That's a good question, yeah. That's a good question.
So, yeah, let's talk about that one first. What do you think? Is it still possible to break the law and still enter the kingdom of God?
I think... So, basically, my reasoning in doing that is that the highest law, I guess, I'm under is Jesus.
Mm.
And so, yes, I respect laws of the land, but at the end of the day, I know what my purpose in life is. And if another law comes in the way of that, then I know, like, the highest law that I've been given is under God.
Mm.
And so I'm not gonna shy back from that. And you look at, like, Daniel, you look with, like, I guess, Nebuchadnezzar.
That's a really good example,
all of those, like, the law was, you can't, you, every time the music plays or these instruments play, you bow down and you worship Nebuchadnezzar. That was the law of the land, but he didn't do it because he had a higher law. And so I think that's the same with us. But obviously it's not an all-encompassing example because, like, if you look at the taxes with Jesus, like, he could have just been like, oh no, I'm Jesus, I'm not going to pay the taxes. But he didn't. He said, go and find a fish and there'll be money in there and we'll give to Caesar what's Caesar's. So I guess with all things in the Bible, there's, like, a tension between those. But that's what I'd say.
No, I hear that. I hear that. To play devil's advocate in this,
do you
feel like a person from, let's say, another faith could use that same philosophy and then actually inflict violence onto others because it's their law in their belief that if someone isn't adhering to their faith, then you have to inflict any type of violence in order to get them to follow their faith.
Mm. Yeah, well, I guess with violence, I mean, it's a different story because I think telling people about your faith versus violence is very different. Like, there's different implications of that. So I would probably say, like, that's not okay. That's not an okay thing to do. Like, I wouldn't go into Mongolia and start, like, holding people at gunpoint saying you have to believe in God.
Yeah.
But I would tell them about Jesus and tell them the gospel and present it in a way that's honest. But, yeah. So with violence, I don't think. But I think everyone has the right to faith. Everyone has the right to believe and to share their beliefs with other people. But, yeah, not in a violent way, I think.
No, I hear that. Yeah. And then the second part to my question was, you talked about how you had to be brave when you were in Mongolia. Just talk us through that. Like, what do you?
Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question. So, the woman who runs the orphanage out there, she's a Dutch lady. So she's from Holland. She moved out to Mongolia when she was 60, and she's in her when she was 50. So she's in her 70s now.
Mm-hmm.
But she has this resolve where the Mongolian government will come into her orphanages, try and shut her down all the time, but she will not budge with the gospel. She will not budge in telling the children in her care about the gospel because she's not afraid. So I think when I went out there, I went with her, like, under her covering. And so me seeing her being, like just having a resolve allowed me to have that same bravery and resolve.
Mm.
But whereas I think if I went out there on my own accord and just kind of did it, it would be a lot scarier.
Yeah.
Because I was going under someone who'd already, like, paved the way. I think it's a lot easier to be brave and to do that.
True.
But at the end of the day, like, the gospel's the gospel, and Paul got put in prison. Got shipwrecked. Like, I think we have such a weak, like, resolve almost of the gospel.
100%.
And, like, that's not what I want. Like, I want it, like, life or death. Like,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I was talking to someone actually, Christian. You know, I always forget his name, but you probably know him. Asian guy, glasses. He was exactly.
He's the dude. He's the dude.
He was like, you know what? I forgot where he wanted to go, but it's one of those places where
Malaysia.
Yeah, Malaysia, where you could also, you know.
Yeah.
get bodied.
I was gonna say bodied.
Come on. It just has more effect.
You know, do you know what that means? No. Get bodied.
No. Get bodied.
Killed, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said bodied. I thought that sounds way too nice.
Bodied.
Yeah. You get bodied. So he was basically saying, like, you know what, if it comes to that, I'm prepared. And I was like, man.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that point, what can you do with someone like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether they live or die, like, they're solely, like, sold out for God, you know? So I think that's a great place to be in, really.
And that verse as well, like, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Mm.
Like, literally. Church, like, being Christian is about going to church.
Mm.
Like, we like to think it is, but it's not. It's about, like, it's giving up your life.
Yeah.
And
that's what I want. Like, it's not, I will never be happy with a Sunday Christianity.
So me and Taz always talk about how the church is very, like, the Anglican church anyway, is very soft when it comes to the Bible, and it doesn't really provide people with the hard truths. And I feel like the church, to a certain degree, is also to blame in terms of not viewing being a Christian as life and death.
Mm.
They say, like, oh, just give your life to Christ and then that's it, then you're calm. But it's really more than that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And people are actually willing to die for their faith. And those are the ones that will inherit the kingdom of God, rather than the ones that come to church on a Sunday and then Monday to Saturday going out clubbing or going out partying and living a different life.
Mm.
So how do you think that as ambassadors of Christ, we can kind of evangelize to people the truth without scaring them?
It's good. Are these flip out socks?
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt.
Was that on your mind the whole time?
Yeah, I was trying to focus, but okay, now that's resolved.
I do own flip out socks. Yeah. It is what it is.
Shout out flip out. Sponsor us next week, please.
You know what I'm saying? I need a social.
We're social influencers. That's a really good question. Because basically I'm not familiar with the Anglican church, because I've always grown up in a very Pentecostal church.
Okay.
So to me, I think my view of church is probably very different to maybe an Anglican view of church, even though it's same gospel, same Jesus, everything. We have the same beliefs, but just our expressions are different. I think that from my standpoint of how we would present the gospel to someone, is to just keep it to Jesus.
Yeah.
Tell them, like, the reality of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then let them figure out the rest. Yeah, like, give them all the tools they need to figure out what that really means. Because I think even for us, like, we have everything, but we're figuring out what we have.
100%.
And we're figuring out what that looks like. So, but yeah. But also, I mean, don't be afraid of telling people how it is. I mean, I'm not afraid to tell. Like, if people will ask me about things, like, I will tell them how it is, because, like, at the end of the day, this isn't real. Like, there's something so much more real than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And it's spirit, and it's, like, this war that we're in that's of the spirit. And so when we keep our eyes on that, it's, like, so much more real than what we can see. Like, even though we can, like, touch the things around us and whatever, there's something a lot more real than that.
Would you think, would you think that Pentecostal churches have more of, like, how can I say, they're more upfront with this type of stuff?
Or I don't know, Anglican, like, obviously you said, like, maybe they're not, they don't present it as
hard truth.
Hard, okay, yeah. So, I guess some Pentecostal churches, the ones I've been in, well, basically my dad is hard truth. Like, he'll literally just tell you as it is, like, but not, like, in a mean way. Like, he'll just say the word of God. And the word of God is a sword. That's what it says, it's a sword.
Yeah.
And so it is hard truth. Like,
I've never thought of it like that, actually.
It's a sword.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a weapon, sword.
They didn't say it's like a pat on the back.
Don't cut deep.
The word of God ain't a pat on the back. It is a sword. So it's going to cut some things. And the gospel's messy.
It
like,
is.
Literally, think about it. Jesus came, died on a cross for all of our sins, and then we die with him and raised to life with him as well.
Mm.
Like, how can that not change absolutely everything?
Mm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How can, literally, if you're saying, like, if you read Romans, like, the old is gone, the new has come, like, I think we just say it so often that it's like not even real to us.
Yeah.
Literally, like that. Like Olivia, when she was 14, is dead, and I'm a new creation in Christ.
Mm.
And so there's nothing like mute about that. There's nothing like silent about that. It is what it is. It's crazy.
No, you're right. I feel like we say stuff all the time that it kind of loses its meaning.
Takes the power away.
And like we use the phrase like, oh, God's love covers everything a bit too much sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can just mess up and then it's all okay.
Mm.
But then do we strive to be better people after we mess up? And then that leads to my next topic of forgiveness.
Mm.
Do you have someone or a view towards other people that kind of stifles your forgiveness for them? Or have you ever struggled with forgiveness?
So forgiveness is actually something that's quite recent. Recently, God's been bringing up in my heart a lot.
Mm.
Because I feel like, what is that verse? Like, so even the Lord's Prayer, like, forgive others as I've forgiven you.
Mm.
Like, when I look at that, like, I've always known it. But it's been to the point where when I pray, if there's, like, unforgiveness in my heart, like, I can't pray.
Yeah.
Like, do you know that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah. And so, like, it will just bug me. And so I think that is really the Holy Spirit, like, and his emphasis on, like, forgiveness, of, like, you don't have a right to, like, not forgive people.
Mm.
Like, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, like, you literally don't have the right to hold unforgiveness. And so when we're praying and trying to, like, be okay with God and, like, commune with him, but we're holding unforgiveness in our hearts, it's just separated.
Stops you,
yeah, and I think that... Sorry, you go.
No.
Like, that is, like, one of the only things is a blockage to God forgiving you.
Mm.
And I think that's why it's such a heavy weight.
Because
it
says in the Bible
that
as well.
Yeah.
That you have to forgive others, otherwise...
Otherwise you're not going to be
forgiven.
And that's why when we pray and stuff, it's like, you can't, because you're blocking the forgiveness of God.
And that's a deep thing for the Bible to say.
Deep.
Like, people don't really talk about it. Because imagine, like, you in your mind, you've done perfect life. You know, you've talked about God to everyone. It's your time to go to heaven. And then God's like, nah, sorry.
Yeah, because if you've never
read
the Bible.
You didn't forgive that person.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. If you read the Bible, and like, if you didn't
that's
forgive
it.
This person, you're not coming with us.
Yeah, my point was actually that, like, it's almost like hypocritical to kind of like be okay with God and not be okay with someone right next to you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Convicting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like, and it reminds me of this talk that we had at Harbour where Alex was talking about, so I went to Catholic school, right? And there's a part where before you take communion, they ask you to, you know, offer each other a sign of peace, right? And I always thought, oh, cool. Peace, bro, peace. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, just peace, right? Peace be with you.
Yeah.
So then, and the priest would be like, I'll offer you a sign of peace, and then we'd be, so you say, peace be with you, and then we say, peace be with you, back to the priest, right? And then Alex said, the whole point of that was so that before you, you know, take communion, you're at peace with whoever you haven't forgiven yet before you come to God.
Mm.
And I thought that was so powerful. That, like, you know, how can you want to talk to, like, someone who is not, like, you can't physically see, and you know what I mean, and all that, but there's someone right here that you can't you know, forgive, you know.
Yeah. And also, like, how can you talk about the gospel and then not forgive yourself? That's contradictory in its own way. But obviously this is all easier said than done.
So,
like,
true.
Because it's sometimes when people, especially the ones closest to us, hurt us so much, it's hard to forgive instantly.
Yeah.
And it takes a real kind of patience and discipline in order for you to forgive that person.
Mm.
And I was going to ask, how do you get to that point of, okay, now I forgive you, when someone hurts you or someone has hurt you so deeply?
Yeah, you have to get over a lot of pride, I think.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so, like, you almost feel justified. You're like, no, I want to be mad at this person.
That feeling.
I want to not forgive this person.
Even
if it's a small thing. Like, even if, like, it's just the smallest little thing that someone's done, and you're like, look, I'm justified in this. I don't want to forgive that person. I don't care. But, like, at the end of the day, that part of you is dead.
Yeah.
And you have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, no, it's Christ alive in me now.
Yeah.
And he's forgiven that person already, so how could I not? So when we just... I think for me, I just have to get over myself. And it's something I'm continually doing. is getting over myself and just being like, look, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. Like, I just have to roll with it.
I had this realization the other day that our body and our mind loves being in our feelings.
Yeah.
So, like, when we're very deep on a certain feeling, whether it's happiness or it's sadness or it's anger, we love being in it, like, a lot. So, especially, especially with anger. When you're angry with someone, it's very hard for you to not be angry, like, in an instant. It takes time. So, with that forgiveness, it's like you said, we have to acknowledge that it's not about us.
Yeah.
That there's a deeper, there's something deeper underneath it all, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one really convicting thing I saw was, have you watched the movie The Shack?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when he, obviously, spoiler alert, just saying. Basically this guy has this daughter who is like, unfortunately murdered. And basically he goes to the shack where he basically has an encounter with God, right? And at the shack, there's a part towards the end actually of his time there, he has to forgive the guy who actually murdered his daughter because God was gonna had already forgiven him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I want to work in his heart, so you need to forgive him.
Mm.
And I was like, Matt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
I was like, that trumps anything that someone's ever done to me that I need to forgive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember I was talking about one of my friends, like, if God, if Hitler, you know, knowing all he did, if he had, like, you know, asked God for forgiveness, best believe we're gonna see him in heaven. Without a doubt. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, man.
Even like Jesus, like, what was his words on the cross? Like, literally on the cross to the people who put him on there was, Father, forgive them.
They know
not what they do. And
wow.
So if he can do that, like,
to the people that put him on that cross, that's crazy.
I have no right, but still we always think that we do. And it's reminding ourselves of that daily.
What about the saying, forgive and forget? Are you able to forgive and still remember and that's okay? Or do you also have to forget whatever?
I don't think you have to forget.
So it's cool to remember what they did to you. That's good, because I remember a lot of people.
It is wisdom, isn't it? Like, I mean, this is just opinion, though, I think. Like, there's nothing, I think, I can't think of a specific scripture about forgetting. I think sometimes it is wisdom, like, you know, and it's, like, kind of natural as well. Like, obviously, there's areas of life that God will have a grace on you and he'll allow you to forget things and move on and, like, take away those hurts and stuff. But I don't think necessarily forgiveness and forgetting come hand in hand.
Yeah.
I think they're separate things.
I agree. Because, like, let's say Taz, for example, really hurt me.
All right.
Obviously, I'll forgive you. But next time I see you, I ain't forgetting what you did to me. Because it was so hurtful what you did to me.
I guess so.
It's always going to be in my mind. However, it's how I react to remembering what you did to me that really defines what, like, who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I think it's more like forgetting what you have over them. That's what you forget. But you can't really forget what they did, but you can forget the effect they had on you. Like, you can, in a way that, like, it just helps you to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, not holding or harbouring anything against that person, but you might remember, like, the exact act or the way that it played out, but, like, not dwelling on that and not holding it against that person all the time.
Yeah, I think forgive might be, I think it's more loosely than it is literal.
Yeah, so obviously that's your view on forgiveness. And also on the same topic of forgiveness, is there an ex in your life that you found very hard to forgive?
I would say that is. Like, you have... I won't go into detail.
No, we can go into details.
No, we don't.
No, I'm playing.
No. Definitely there's some hurt, and think you just have to forgive. Like, it's just with everything, like, any other way of forgiveness, like, you have to forgive. But obviously it is a more personal, like, thing. So it does really hurt, and maybe it's a bit more painful to deal with, but just pressing on and knowing that it's going to be okay. And you can...
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking?
18.
Oh, and was he a Christian as well?
Yes.
Oh, man, Christians, we be hurting each other out here.
Yo, Christians, bro. Low-key, watch out for him.
Mm.
And that's a nice little segue to the next topic, which is Christian dating.
Oh, I didn't know this was a topic.
Christian dating.
So would you say that the way that Christians date is very different to the way that secular people date?
Yes, in some respects. I guess it depends on... There's a lot of different types and kinds of Christians. Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of Christians. I guess people that I know, like, who have dated. I mean, there's been good examples, there's been terrible examples, everything in between.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have the same.
100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah.
I think the main characteristic is just, like, the sexual part. Obviously, the belief definitely is the highest part, but I feel like in just relating with your partner, definitely the sexual part comes into it quite a bit, because obviously, if there's nothing to kind of restrain you, like, you're going to go the whole nine, you know, full story, you know, so I think that's one of the characteristics where, like, I've noticed with me and my own relationship, like, it's more like just, you know, God, us, and affection, but it just ends there. Where other people, like, it's characterized by, like, I haven't slept with him in a while.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Or it's like, you know what I mean? It's more like touchy-feely or feelings, whereas ours is more out of conviction.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, to your point, so like you said about how in a secular relationship, the issue might be, oh, we haven't had sex in a while. Before, the ideal Christian, it would be, we haven't talked about God in a while. And then that's like the same issue, but from a different perspective. And saying that, how do you guys feel about boundaries in a relationship?
That's when you start talking about like that kind of stuff. The first thing that popped in my head was boundaries. Like, the only way you're going to have a successful Christian relationship is with boundaries.
Mm.
Like, that there's no other way. Like, you can't just go into it blind.
Mm.
Because you will probably fail.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have boundaries and you have to, like, be accountable to people. Like, there's no other way of doing it, I don't think. You can't be dumb. Like, you have to go into it, like, with your A game and know, like, look, this stuff's real. I'm going to, like, lay these lines here and these lines here and set it up in a way so that we can succeed. So, yeah.
Do you not think, though, that with boundaries... the flip side to that is, as someone who is operating within those boundaries, they might try and get to the closest they can to that boundary, and it just makes it more dangerous for them to cross the boundary.
Mm. Yeah, I think.
So there's always a danger with boundaries.
Yeah, that's always the question with boundaries, but I mean, just keep, that's why accountability comes into it.
Yeah.
Like, always having someone who knows everything and someone who you trust who knows everything. Because if they're a good person, they're going to tell you, look, like, your heart is going too close.
Mm.
Like, and I think with boundaries and getting too close to them, like, it all starts with where your heart is at. And if your heart has already crossed that boundary, then you've crossed the boundary.
Wow.
And even, like, Jesus says, like, if you even have, like, an adulterous thought, then you're an adulterer.
Yeah, and you're going
to
go straight
to that. Yeah, like, it's the Bible, it's the Bible. And, like, so if you have to watch your heart, because... yeah, maybe you've come close to the boundary or whatever, but if your heart's already gone there, then you've gone there.
Wow.
Mm. And that's, like, the reality of, like, the new covenant that we're under.
Yeah.
Is that it's no longer about what we're doing or boundaries that we're on, but it's about our hearts.
Yeah.
And intentions. It's real deal.
Do you guys feel like a Christian can enter any relationship without first getting a confirmation from God?
Any relationship?
Okay, romantic relationship.
Okay. Yes, that's a personal question. Because for me, I would say... like, I would want to say, no, of course not, how could they? But then I feel like, done that.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get ahead of yourself, don't you? Like,
you
do. Mm. And you just think... I don't know, I think with a relationship, it can sometimes fill the void of God.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the danger of a romantic relationship, is that if you're not careful, that will take the place of God.
Yeah. And it happens. It happens so easily.
Yeah, so easy.
It just creeps up on you.
Yeah. And so, I think seasons of singleness are really important,
mm-hmm.
because it aligns you in a way that you're so grounded and established in God that when you get into a relationship, you know the boundaries and you know where God stands and where they stand.
Yeah.
And then I guess you form a relationship with that for keeping those boundaries in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree. And then what if it's on your heart to leave the relationship, but then your flesh is telling you no? Your flesh wants to remain in the relationship and kind of tell itself that it's the right relationship. How do you fight that battle?
I mean, that's just the spirit and the flesh, isn't it? Like, with any kind of spirit-flesh battle, it comes down to, like, it's just that. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a relationship, if it's, like, going out partying, if it's binging TV shows. Like, spirit and flesh dynamic is that it's what you feed. If you're going to feed your flesh is going to win every time. But if you're going to feed your spirit's going to come out strong. So I think, like, even I think it's all in, like, Galatians, I want to say. Like, feeding your spirit. And we know, like, in prayer, in worship, in the word, and our spirits get stronger, and then you can overcome the flesh. But if you're just feeding the flesh, you know, just vegging out, hanging out with this person all the time, not listening to anyone, missing church, hanging out with them, then your flesh is going to be like this huge baby that just wants its way every time.
That's a great analogy.
That is the best analogy ever. That was amazing.
No, but it is so true. I think as Christians, the biggest battle that we will face is between flesh and spirit.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's hard to figure out what one is spirit, what one is flesh as well. And like you said, it goes back to what you feed the most, because the thing that you feed the most will be the one that prevails in the end.
Yeah.
And that'll be the one that leads you to making the right decisions. I noticed when you were giving your answers, you're very quick to reference the Bible
every time,
as a way to back up what you're saying. How important would you say reading the Bible is?
I don't think there's, for a Christian, like, I don't think there's many things that are more important than that. Like, if you do not know the word, like, you don't know what you believe. And it's dangerous. Like, being a Christian who doesn't know the word, like, what game are you playing? Like, what? It's like trying to get a degree without reading anything. Like, try and go through your degree, like, English literature degree, trying to go through that without reading a single text, without reading any of the instructions for my assessments. Like, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
That's the best analogy, actually.
And it's
I feel
true.
Like people don't treat it like that. You know what I mean? Like, they feel like,
because it's a test at the end of the day.
Yeah. But you know what? At the same time, I feel like sometimes churches don't do enough to tell people that like, now that you're a Christian, you're actually supposed to work at it, and actually supposed to feed that, you know, the spirit that you've now acquired. You know what I mean?
No, it's my hunger, like, right now, especially, is, like, to know the word. Like, just to know it. Like, I don't care if people say, oh, you're religious. Like, no, I want to know the word.
Yeah, take pride in that.
Dude, yeah, I want to know it. Like, Jesus is the word. Like, John 1, like, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And then it came in flesh, and it was Jesus, and he is the word. And so if you want to know Jesus, you want to know the word.
We think,
like, oh, we're going to find Jesus at a worship set. Like, we think we're going to go to church and we're going to worship and soak and we're going to find Jesus. You want to find Jesus, then read the Bible.
It's deeper than that, yeah.
He is the word.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I get passionate.
No, you should.
No, definitely.
You should, though. It's the word. Like
yeah,
I said.
Come on.
Come on. Woo!
Can I get a hallelujah?
Amen.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so that analogy that you used about how it's how you can't pass your test without reading up on English literature. It goes deeper than that as well, because there's a lot of Christians out here that try and get a piece of the word through going to churches and through hearing from other people. And, like, it doesn't work like that sometimes. If you want to get the best on your degree, you do the work. You do the hard work yourself.
Yeah.
You don't rely on other people.
You don't rely on the lecturer only.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just get to a lecture.
That's it.
You'll get 40%, and that's a lot. I mean, it's the bare minimum, but...
Yeah.
Well,
that's it.
It's
the 40% Christianity.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the new one. We've had, like, Prosecco on the beach Christianity.
Cotton candy.
Christianity.
Prosecco on the beach Christianity.
That's my analogy.
What is that?
So that's basically, like, the vacation Christian. Yeah, I'm going to just come here on a Sunday and get what I need to get, and then I'm out.
Ooh.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
then they do like prosecco. Exactly, prosecco on the beach. Like, it's just laid back. I'm at the beach. You know what I mean? Life is dandy, right? And then there's the cotton candy, which is basically the same thing, which is fluffy.
Fluffy and sweet.
Yeah, fluffy that's and it, sweet. Right? Yeah. There's no hardships, it's just fluffy and sweet.
Yeah.
Right? But then, and then now we have the 40% Christian.
Which is like you think that you got it all covered because you heard like
certain
sermons and what your friends say and going to church, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
No. It's eating leftovers. Like,
yeah.
Why would you do that when there's like a feast?
I love this analogy,
it is a feast of,
but no, for real, it's like going through the bins at KFC when you can literally go and order yourself a meal, and that's what people do and they're happy with it because they don't know anything better.
We need more writers on the podcast.
No, this is actually facts. So like you can equip yourself with so much stuff, but you're having leftovers from KFC. Not even like a proper restaurant. We don't need this in the shot. Lost the train of thought.
Yeah, no, you're talking about like mediocre Christians and KFC, all those analogies.
Yeah, let's move away. So do you have any plans of starting your church?
Starting a church?
Because obviously your dad was a pastor. Do you also have that passion as he?
I don't have a passion to start churches. I think, for me, I don't think I'm a church planter. I think I want to strengthen stuff that's already going. Mm. Right now, my focus is just strengthening family church. I lead the missions department and do a lot of stuff with the young adults established. And I just help in any way that I can, so just strengthening that. But for the future, I don't know like what it holds. Like, I think ministry will always be a huge part of my life because I don't think I'll be satisfied doing anything else.
Yeah.
But for me, like, writing is a huge passion, and editing, publishing books and stuff like that is kind of the career I want to go into.
Okay.
But I'm 100% open. Like, I know I just want to be used by God.
I hear that.
Whatever that looks like.
No, that's cool. Do you think you'd ever go into like screenwriting or anything like that, or is just strictly books?
I think just like writing in any dynamic, like I just love it, so whatever opportunities open like in that kind of sphere of stuff, I would love to do that. Yeah,
sounds good. You know what? What were you gonna say?
Are you gonna change the whole topic?
Yeah,
I'll say this. So obviously you said that you want God to use you.
Yeah.
And you think that he can use you through creativity?
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously you're quite creative in terms of writing and stuff. But some people find it hard to kind of tap into that creative side.
Mm.
Especially Christians, they find it hard to use their creative side to glorify God.
Yeah.
So how do you think one could cross that barrier?
I mean, I always look at, like, C.S. Lewis as, like, such an example of a creative who was totally given.
Mm.
And, like, the works that he created, like, if you even look at those child stories, like Narnia, like, they glorify God.
Yeah.
And I think creative work, like, is so from the Lord. Mm. Like, he's a creative God, and I don't think creativity is something that everyone has. Like, I think in different elements, like, they are creative, but I think for people who are particularly creative in, like, writing and art and music, whatever it is, like, I think 100%, what you make can glorify God.
100%.
Like, even the rocks cry out. Like, I think everything can glorify him if it's done as, like, worship to him.
Yeah. So, I used to struggle with that, with glorifying God through my talents, because I used to play football, and I used to love football to the point where it was almost replacing God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I managed to catch myself in that realisation. And then I prayed about it. And then God managed to use that passion to stir it in a way that glorifies him.
Mm.
And it's something I would say to focus in the summer camp that I went to in my church, how we all have that passion, but it's directed in the wrong mission.
Mm.
So like everyone has this driving thing that they're good at or that they love, but the end result isn't what God wants it to be.
Mm.
So then how do you think, and this is to Taz as well, that we can steer that towards glorifying God, whatever it is that we're good at or what talents that we have?
Yeah, you
want to
go?
I think you can take this one.
I mean, the immediate thing that comes in my head is obedience.
Mm.
And so with like football or anything, like the highest degree of like worship is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether he's telling you to do it or to not do it, like the way that he's glorified in that is to be obedient to what he's saying and to be sensitive to what he's saying. So I think in whatever we do, as long as obedience is at the core of our hearts in doing it, and listening to what he's saying to us, then I think that's glorifying God.
Yeah.
Because he'll use that then. He can use obedience. He won't use stubbornness. He won't use someone who kicks against the goes or whatever. Like,
no, I hear that.
Yeah, I think exactly, being obedient and also being intentional. Always keeping in mind that either work is for God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I guess for me, I think you can get like lost in the source and lost in your own talents and think that, you know, this is all me. Like, I do great work. Mm-hmm. And you hear the praises of other people. Because obviously, if you're putting out content, people are going to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
People are not, you know, but it's just knowing why you're doing it, your own conviction, and being intentional with what you do every time.
Really. So true, so true. And this, actually, what you just said, I think another element of it is realizing that it's beyond you. That it's not really about you. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God, however we can.
Mm-hmm.
And once you remain on that train though, I think God will bless you even more when you start to not do things for yourself, but rather for God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like doing the most with them.
Yeah.
Like even parable of the talents, like when you've been given something, like work with it, grow it, like make it better, like because you're going to be rewarded for that.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
How do you guys struggle with that selfish side of being creative? Because obviously there's that element in you that's like, wow, this is so good. But then how do you stop yourself from like going deeper into that that wormhole?
What kind of creativity do you?
I was writing.
Writing?
Yeah.
I guess it's interesting as a writer.
We're in the same group. Arts group.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Anyways, when you think your friends know you. Anyway.
Forgive me,
no, I think, selfish. What do you mean by selfish? As in I just start like, glorifying myself?
Yeah, like, because obviously you will get praise along the way.
Yeah.
So how do you stop yourself from, whoa, hold up?
Like, dealing with praise?
Yeah.
I think how I've dealt with it is kind of dedicating it, the whole writing thing, to God.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never tried to own it. You know what I mean? I've never tried to be like, this is all me. From the moment I realized that God is the one that, you know, gave me all these talents, like I've always been like, you know what, this is your thing, not mine, you know, and I'm a steward these gifts the best I can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what keeps me on track and lets me know like when I'm getting too far. And also when I start dreaming about what I want to do and no one's there, that's when I start thinking, oh, maybe I'm being selfish. Like when I start dreaming of my own praises and it's not really it's only benefiting me, that's when I kind of pull back, like, oh goodness, this is kind of peak. Yeah. What's you?
I guess just humility, like.
Yeah, so important.
I think no matter like where the talent takes you, where the gift takes you, like humility is everything.
Mm.
Like not thinking too much of yourself.
Yeah.
Like always, and it's so much easier said than done because I think it's so easy to just think you're awesome, and like it's not bad to think like you're a great person or whatever, but like just being humble.
Yeah.
And I think, like, humility allows obedience all the time, because when you're not like prideful, then you're willing to be used by God.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're willing to be used by God. I'm good. I've just got a bit of a cough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because as soon as you get prideful and think, oh, I'm the best writer there is, like, then God can't use you.
That's when you've lost.
Yeah, because you're just
lost.
You'll make your own world for yourself, but it won't be blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, I talk about this all the time, where it's like, you never really know what the plan is until you ask God anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everyone, it's kind of scary to think that everyone who does not know God, who is successful, might not actually be doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter how successful they are, if you don't have God, you might not actually be doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, like, that's what also has helped me, is like, he has the blueprint. How can I be doing what I'm doing when he knows exactly what I was built for? It's like telling Steve Jobs what an iPhone's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's passed away, but you know, you get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, oh, one question I had, which I remember we're supposed to, was in the first group of questions that we're supposed to ask you the first time.
Oh.
Was very controversial topic, but I'll tackle it. Abortion.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
We can talk about it.
Can we talk about it?
I forgot to tell you about it, but yeah. What's your
you guys
want to
talk about it?
You want to talk about it? Izzy, do you want to talk about it?
Have you talked about it on the show?
No, we haven't.
We can talk about it.
Yeah?
You guys go.
Alright, just as a disclaimer, these are all personal views.
Yeah.
Mm.
So don't feel
discussion.
It's a
discussion.
It's a debate. It's a debate.
It's not a debate.
It's
just a discussion, bro.
Discussion.
Hey. You have a question about it?
Yeah, what are your views on it? I remember...
You want to know my views on it?
Yeah, I just remember that it was something that you had expressed interest in the
yeah.
first time we
I think with it, it is a huge topic right now in, like, the public eye.
Yeah.
Especially
with what happened in the States as well.
Yeah. So I come from being in the States, it was very Southern, so I don't know if you guys, but it was, like, very, they know what they believe, and it's, they're very strong in their beliefs for pro-life.
Mm.
And I think I firstly came, like, I never really cared that much about it, honestly, growing up. Like, I guess you hear about it all the time and people have really strong views, but I was always like, what does it matter? But I think the more I looked into it, like, I agree with them. Like I can't justify for myself abortion. Mm. Because when I read the Bible, there's nothing in there that I can say, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a very personal view.
Of course.
And obviously even in the Christian sphere, people are going to believe
of
different
course.
Things.
Of course.
But when I read Before You Knew Me in my mother's womb, and, like, all of those kind of things about
yeah.
how he is creator, like, how could I interrupt that?
Yeah. It's
and
very,
so,
yeah, especially that verse is very
yeah.
intimate, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, God took his time and is like, how he's, like, he wove me together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when you read those, like, and then you just picture, like something, like a sharp object just coming to ruin all
yeah.
that, you know? Obviously, that's a kind of stark image.
Very graphic.
Stark image.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you
but
know,
it's real.
Yeah,
though.
It's real, exactly.
Yeah.
You kind of interrupting what God has put in motion, in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, so, what do you want to have a take on that?
Yeah, like, look, when you're a Christian, you're going to be called out for having these views.
Yeah.
I think, like,
this is
part of the burden of being a Christian, in a way, in terms of what some certain views that we have, people won't like, the majority won't like.
Yeah.
And
but even in the Christian sphere, I've seen so much diversity in views for this.
And
well.
Again, that's all part of it, I think.
Yeah.
The confusion amongst Christian. I think that's
yeah.
a way of that's how the devil kind of creeps in.
Mm,
yeah.
So
through,
true.
Through confusion.
Another question was, like, how did you feel about, like, the fact that the decision was kind of handled by men as well?
Mm.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know too much about it. Like,
mm.
I don't know too much about the laws. Like, I've looked into it on a surface level, but not too much.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't really have an opinion on that. Like, not one that I would, like, share that's, like, put together. So, yeah.
Alright. That's alright. I just wanted to see, like,
no,
where you have, your hair was. Because I knew that it was the first time we wanted to meet up. And this was when the whole, you know,
it was when a lot of
it was
out,
fresh
yeah.
it,
that's
was,
why
it was very fresh right in our heads on
yeah.
the news, so I just thought it was interesting just to get there
yeah.
Cool. Yeah,
to touch on it.
yeah no, that's cool.
No.
You were sweating, bro. It's alright.
No I'll tell you why after the podcast.
I think the reason, because I said maybe, like, not talk about abortion, but I think...
I didn't tell you this, though.
Yeah.
That's what it confused me.
But I think because I saw so much backlash, so much, honestly, hate in between Christians, like, on social media, and I was like, almost just don't want to touch on that.
Mm.
But, like, I don't mind, like, bringing it up. But, yeah, I think that was what really, I was like,
I don't
how are people, like, how are people talking like this to
mm.
each other?
Mm. Mm.
Like, about such a personal issue. Like, can we just have our opinions and be peaceful?
Yeah, I mean, it's the age of the fence, right? Is what people say.
It's true, yeah.
But, like, anything can get anyone now. You know what I mean?
That's the world that we live in right now.
Yeah.
And saying that, do you guys feel like the world is coming to an end soon?
I don't know. I mean, there's things, isn't there? But I just don't know.
I can't know for sure. A lot of people will be like, oh, with everything that's happening.
Do you know what I'm saying? But you know what? So many people have been saying that recently. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, with the events happening, it's coming to an end soon.
You know what? I feel like right now, it's so... In my own perspective, bro, like, if it was, like, 1914, when the World War started, I'll be like, peak, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, this is the end. But now, exactly. But now it's like... I mean,
it's bad.
Trump is the president. That's like, you know what I mean? That's peak. You know what I mean? And obviously, there were crazy things happening all over the world.
That's what I'm saying.
There were things like, you know, like Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, all the Holocaust. There's like world wars. So I feel like every year or every generation, you know what I mean? People have
something to
put it against. So I'm like, I personally, Jesus told me not to worry about that. So I'm like cool, you know what I mean?
I think just live ready. Like, that's what he says, just live ready.
Yeah, I agree.
He'll come in a thief in the night. So just
no one will expect it.
Live ready, yeah. Be ready for him to come tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like live how you
really
live
should,
if he's
really
coming.
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
People don't have that that mentality. And sometimes I forget about that.
Same.
You know, it's just a daily thing that we have to remind ourselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, live. Very, very blessed to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Before we leave, we always ask the guest, in 10 years' time, if everything goes right in your life, where do you see yourself?
So, 32.
Wow.
Dude, okay. Well, hopefully, doing ministry somewhere, all over the world, travel to many countries, tell people about the gospel, seeing thousands of people give their life to Christ.
Amen to that.
Definitely, man.
Hopefully have a family.
How many kids?
3.
Oh, that's alright. Not too bad. We've had football teams.
Yeah, we've had 11.
We had 11.
Maybe 3. published books.
Yeah.
Yeah, just giving it all. Burning for God more than I am right now.
That's the main one.
Yeah.
That's it.
I respect that.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. It's been your boy Izzy.
It's been your boy Tess.
It's been your boy Liv.
She just had to say.
I knew it.
She just had to say. That's why I left
that
guy.
Hey, shout out Shekinah. Support her.
Oh, yeah, the audience. We have live audience members today.
First time ever.
Do you want to say hello?
Hey.
Wonderful. Support her friends today.
Catch you guys next week.
Yeah.